How about Esther now in Texas? Good morning, Esther.
Oh, good morning. I want to know, so many things I understand about the baptism, and why is it that people, the different churches I've gone to, they baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I said, wonder why they don't call his name. Those are his titles. And I said, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter told them, he said, repent. And even the little babies, why they baptize babies? Mm-hmm. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promises unto you and to your children. And I was discussing this with my uncle, and I said, Uncle, I haven't read in that Bible nowhere where anybody got baptized and they mentioned over them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. They called his name. Mm-hmm. Why do they don't call his name? Those are his titles. And then when I think it's Colossians 3:18, I'm not sure right now, but it said, whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I said, why did they call his titles? Why don't they call his name? And that can just work on me. Okay. How do the different churches do this?
Very good question, Esther, and I'll do my best to
answer. And wait, before you ask me right quick. Mm-hmm. And when Peter said that to repent, and I kind of put that with the babies, I said, babies to me are going to go to help me anyway. Babies don't know nothing about repentance. Why, they say you got to baptize the babies. I believe in, you know, like, consecrating, you know, and offering them back to God for being so good, you know, bring them to you, that you have them. I said, but a baby don't know nothing about repent. It's these boogers on their feet that's going against God. They the one that need to repent. I couldn't understand that. Why they baptize the babies? So help me out a little bit.
I'll do my best. Yeah, you have two really good questions side by side. So one is about, why do we baptize infants, since they can't repent and they have nothing to repent from because they didn't sin? So that's one question. Then the other question would be about the formula for baptism in Jesus' name, or baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why don't I start there? It is true that throughout the New Testament, you never see an example of the apostles, or anyone for that matter, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the Trinitarian formula. Although, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, when Jesus gives the apostles the Great Commission, he says to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we can say, number one, that both forms of baptism were valid. And so when the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus only, that was valid. And it seems, I think that the fact that Jesus said to do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, those are not titles, those are persons of the Trinity, because there's one God in three persons. The Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They are one God, but three persons. And that's a separate topic, which would take more time to get into. But just as an aside, those aren't the titles of God. Those are the names of the persons of the Trinity. So if you consider the history of baptism, what you'll see is that shortly after the time of the apostles, the church made the decision, and it was a gradual decision, but it happened rather quickly. The church made the decision to no longer use the formula of baptism in the name of Jesus only, but rather to use that formula that Jesus himself gave, which is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as you know, of course, Esther, Jesus gave the church the authority to bind and loose. And so the church bound the members of the church in the case of Trinitarian baptism. So that would be a quick cursory overview of why we baptize in the name of the Blessed Trinity. Now, as for babies, you've got a very good point there. When St. Peter was preaching to the people in Jerusalem, as all the other apostles were, he says to them, repent and be baptized. Now, this is because they said to him, what do we do now? So they just heard his wonderful sermon about Jesus, and they say, all right, brothers, what do we do? And Peter's answer to them in verse 38 is, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There you have the Jesus-only baptism, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that were all we had, I could see where somebody might say, well, then baptism is really only for those who can repent, because obviously these are adults and they would have to repent before they could be baptized. But notice the next verse, verse 39. He says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all those that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God will call. So there we see an open-ended reference to children. And it doesn't say children above a certain age. It doesn't say children who are old enough to repent. It just says to all that are far off. That would include even the little babies. So the church recognized early on that this promise of salvation, and it's because of what baptism does. It's not just a symbol. It's not just like a dedication ceremony. It actually does what it symbolizes. It actually, as it says in 1 Peter, baptism now saves you, because it's not merely just a washing of dirt from the body, but it actually creates that inward change in the person who's being baptized. So even if you're not old enough to repent, the gift of baptism that Jesus says in John 3, unless a man be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus misunderstood him and thought he meant like going back inside your mother's body and being born again. He thought it was like amniotic fluid, like that kind of water. But Jesus said, no, unless you're born again of water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what's interesting, Esther, is at the very end of that discussion with Nicodemus about baptism, what do we see? We see that we're told that Jesus and the apostles went out into the countryside where Jesus spent some time with them baptizing. So the context of that discussion with Nicodemus is set against the topic of baptism. So that's why we baptize infants. They need the graces of baptism just like anyone else does, even though they're unable to repent. Now, one final thing, and I have to take a break, so forgive me, but one final thing is this. You'll notice that baptism replaces circumcision in the Old Testament. Now, circumcision took place at 8 days of age. The baby boy was brought to the synagogue, and his parents would have him circumcised. Now, the circumcision was the enactment of the covenant between that little boy and God, but he had no choice in the matter. He didn't choose to be circumcised. In fact, I'm sure if a little 8-day-old boy could understand what circumcision was all about, he wouldn't choose it. And yet, his parents enacted this covenant with God on behalf of the child, and it was a real covenant. So in the same way, but better, because Jesus raised baptism to the level of a sacrament, just as the baby boys, they were circumcised, and this was done for them by their parents, baptism, which replaces circumcision, is done for the babies by their parents. A lot there, Esther, but I hope that's something for you to think about. And if you'd like to go back and re-listen to any of it, just go about an hour after the program's over, go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, and you can listen to it again if you're interested. Thank you. I'll be right back.